It's Danger Dan coming to you live from Desert Condor Studios here in Salt Lake City, Utah. This is not a road show, although I am on the road. Today's episode is with Scott Johnson. You may know him from Mama Tried or Fuel Cafe there in Milwaukee. I sat down with him on the way to the X Games after Fuel Cleveland. And he set me up right, dude. Took me out to eat. I got this burrito. It's funny, the cooks didn't know who I was. So they put Scott's friend in like sriracha sauce on this. That's how big it was. They wrote Scott's friend on the burrito. Scott, thank you for that. That was amazing. And thank you for the little secret fucking camping spot on the way to Minneapolis. That was legendary. Yeah, so Scott's on the show today. If you want to support this show, go to mcshoptees.com, your t-shirt of the month club, the only way to support every local motorcycle shop. That's right, $25 a month gets you a new t-shirt every month. It's like a magazine subscription, except for you get a t-shirt, a different design every single month. You can get a heavy style men's, a soft style men's, a ladies cut. You can even trick out your kids for school, and school's coming up. You want to have the baddest ass kids at school? Just tell them not to wear a shirt. That's pretty badass. Or they could wear an MC shop tee. It's easy. Each month I feature a different motorcycle shop from around the country that I find on the road. Like here in Salt Lake, I was coming through the Salt Flats last year and got taken to a place called Dirty Rat. And they hooked me up with some parts. I met Rick. His name's Rick, right? Met Rick, and we set it up, and we did a badass t-shirt. One of my favorite t-shirts. There's a fucking rat tail on the back of it. The thing is you can't have one. If you didn't get one, we're not printing them anymore. These are all limited tees. So sign up now. Use Danger Dan at checkout. Get $10 off your first t-shirt. And if you've got too many t-shirts and you're like, dude, I don't need any more fucking t-shirts, then go to DangerDanceTalkShop.com and look at the menu. Click on the Patreon support tab. And for as little as $1 a month, you got a chance at winning a bunch of badass shit. Like I give away a handmade knife by Nick every single month. You may know Nick from the music spots he does on the podcast. Or you may have seen him walking around in his fucking human leather vest with his fucking sweet hat at all the motorcycle events. That's right, he's got a chopper now thanks to Terry Shanks. He's been riding around. So follow him on the gram. Lowbrow Customs has been donating auxiliary fuel tanks because I think it's funny that I run out of gas everywhere I go. Gift certificates, magazines from Stag, Choppers. No School Choppers, he's always helping out and throwing shit. Today, I got a special offer from Craig at High Seas Jerky. First person to send him a screenshot of their Patreon account to his Instagram account on High Seas Jerky gets 2 free bags of jerky and a keychain hot sauce keychain. Yeah, it's fucking good. And everybody else who does that before Sunday gets $5 off a t-shirt or a bag of jerky. So go to High Seas Jerky. The Danger Dan sneaky heat you probably can't handle. The Cosmic Pain, the Mothership variety. It's probably too hot for you, so just get the basic. You know, I don't want you to hurt yourself. So, High Seas Jerky, send them your Patreon picture. First person wins some shit. Right now, I'm headed to the Salt Flats. I think I've covered it. Oh, the dates. Dude, Four Corners Rally is like in a couple of weeks. After that, you got the Southern Throwdown. Me, Al, and Doghouse, the Outbound Train, the new formation of the Outbound Train, are going to be playing a train of shows leading up to the Southern Throwdown. Thursday night, Rowdy House Customs in Corpus Christi. Friday night, the Broke Neck. It's a DIY skate spot that's fucking sick that my buddy Pete built in Austin, Friday night. Saturday night, we're playing Lucky Seven Cycles. And then Sunday is the Southern Throwdown at the Bomb Factory in Dallas, Texas. Don't fuck around. There's going to be a giveaway bike. There's going to be vans. There's going to be choppers and a bunch of other rad-ass shit. I think Hannah might be there, huh? Hannah?
Be in Paris.
Oh, fuck. Hannah's going to be in Paris. Desert Condor Studios will be shut down that week, but that's okay. There'll be some other shit. After that, you got Loretta Lynn's Tennessee Motorcycle Music Revival at Loretta Lynn's Ranch in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. That's going to be epic. I saw Rhett this weekend. Carly will be there. Fucking Bill Dodge. The Bling Cycles Invitational. It's a beautiful place. A beautiful place. So go get your tickets now at Tennessee Motorcycle Music Revival. Okay. I think I did everything. Scott Johnson of Mama Tried Fuel Cafe. Oh, and he also has a podcast that he does with Jeremy Pratt called Brap Yap. B-R-A-A-A-A. I don't know how many A's there are. It's Brap Yap. At Brap Yap. Go find him. Listen to that. Ask them to do more shows. I showed them what equipment I use so that they can do more of them. Scott, thank you once again. Here's Mr. Johnson.
I talked to Chris Callen, and he told me like the most epic story about the beginning of Cycle Source magazine.
Oh, really? And you didn't get it? Recorded.
No.
I got sick to my stomach, dude. Like, I really... Like, I didn't even want to say, like, he saw the look on my face when I realized, he's like, what's wrong? I thought I was just going to puke all over this table, dude. And he was, no problem. We'll just keep, he didn't even flinch.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, no.
I did that, I was doing a fanzine when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I had a tape recorder and I can't remember who I was interviewing a band, and they were like, not just like a band, but they were like, you know, a band that I really liked and like really respected, and did a whole interview.
He's going to set that fanzine off to the next level.
I don't remember. Now I don't remember. I think it was like the dude from Smashing Pumpkins or something like that.
Dang.
Like way back in the day before they got big. You know, they were from Chicago and they'd come up here and play all the time.
Nice.
And it was like the first time, the second time they came up. And they're just playing this teeny little place. And I was like, not the main dude, but it was James Iha, what did he play? Not drums. Anyway.
Smashing Pumpkins, yeah. I haven't heard that in a minute.
No shit. That's some 90s shit. Right,
dude,
there.
Did you hear that guy? What's the lead singer's name? Have you heard the podcast he did with Joe Rogan?
No.
Oh my God, it's fucking awesome.
Really?
Yeah, he like bought a wrestling league. He's like owner of WWF or something.
No way.
Yeah,
seriously?
He loves it. Eats it up.
Really?
Dude. Yeah.
That's awesome. I listened to one that's fucking killer. I was actually just wondering, like, what happened to, like, I kind of respect him. I have no idea what he's doing, but I kind of respect that he hasn't, like, keep pumping out records and being like, listen to what I'm doing.
Yeah,
no,
he's like, fucking WWF, like, we're going to break some chairs over people's backs.
That's awesome.
I know. Yeah. He like gets the whole show aspect of it, you know, like I imagine, I mean, I don't watch it, but
yeah,
I imagine he'd be a pretty cool dude to work for if you're a professional wrestler.
Oh, the name's on the tip of my tongue. I can see his face.
Is it not Ian? I can definitely see his bald head.
Yeah,
face.
Yeah. And I remember when he had hair too. Like I have photos from like those shows that were like late 80s.
So this fanzine, you were putting out like a magazine?
Yeah,
like
it was called Traction. And it was just like a punk rocky music, like the music wasn't like super, like all the bands that were in there weren't super punk rock, but it was that whole era of like that kind of post punk, like alternative.
Yeah.
But
so like early 90s, real early
late 80s. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 88.
And you grew
89.
Up here in Milwaukee?
Yeah. Menominee Falls. It's like a burb of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is it, Mont?
Menominee Falls.
Menominee Falls. Yeah. Is there actually waterfalls there?
There are, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. We used to go, like, we'd go drinking when we were kids and, like, go, like, run, try to run across the river on the ice, like, when it was sort of iced up and, like, run on the cakes.
Sort of iced up?
Yeah. Run on the cakes, like, and see how we could, see how far you could make it, you know?
Oh, shit.
Man, dude, if our parents knew the shit that we
did. Winter's up here, man. That's just got to be brutal. I mean,
are you? You're from Texas?
Yeah.
Grew up there.
I did one winter in Wyoming.
Okay.
Like working outside on a drilling rig.
Yeah. Didn't like that.
One winter. I came home after that.
But the fucking heat. Where in Texas are you from?
North Texas, outside of Fort Worth.
All right.
Yeah, it gets hot.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
It gets real hot. You just gotta embrace the heat.
Yeah.
You know, you can still do stuff in heat.
Yeah, but
there's stuff you just can't do when it's cold outside. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fucking snow everywhere.
Yeah, that's true, but it's like, yeah. I mean, I grew up, my dad's from Houston, so I spent my summers in Houston. Yeah. And I went to Texas Tech for a year.
You went to Texas Tech out in Lubbock? Yeah. Dude, I used to party out there.
Really?
With the kids that went to college, because I did. And I would just go party with them.
It's a weird town because it's kind of dry. It's like
There's like, it used to be like freaking gangster run. Like, there was one spot where you could buy all the booze, and like the same family owned it, you know? Like,
yeah.
You'd go out to the strip right there.
Yeah, the strip, and there's like five big fucking massive grocery store sized liquor stores, and everybody's pushing around those like pallet carts fucking loaded with shit.
Yeah.
And people would just buy like hundreds of dollars worth of shit instead of just going to buy a 12 pack. Yep. Every time you go to the store, you're spending $500.
Yeah. So there was like, that was like some political bullshit going on. They wouldn't let anybody else have it, but now it's open.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I figured it was something like that.
But not long ago.
Really?
I mean, like...
A couple of years ago?
No, maybe 5 to 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty late.
Yeah. They made a lot of... I mean, there's a lot of kids who went through college and drank a lot of booze from those four stores or whatever it was.
Damn. But Texas, man, that's a different deal. In the summer, it's fucking hot down there. There's not a lot. I mean, you can go do stuff, but it's like here, you're mostly inside, right?
Well, and that's the thing I noticed. Like, we were at the fucking concert, you know, in the park overlooking Milwaukee last night. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, wonder why they don't do anything like this in Texas. I'm like, oh, because it's fucking smoldering hot. Nobody's just going to sit outside. Sun,
no,
you know?
Everybody wants to be...
Yeah.
But that's the thing here. It's like everybody's overachievers as far as like doing events in the summer.
Taking advantage.
Dude, every single weekend, there's like 18 things that you want to do. There's 100 things. There's like 18 things that you actually want to go do.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Yeah. When they said that concert, they do it like every night almost. Like there's multiple parks in the city. Dude, they've all got.
All the time. And the church festivals and Summerfest and all the ethnic festivals. And there's an ethnic festival every weekend, like Irish Fest, Asian Fest, Polish Fest, German Fest, Fiesta Mexicana. Like, it's like every ethnic group has a weekend there or they have a huge thing. And it's like, you know, 100,000 people go down there and just like party and eat food and listen to music. And
that was awesome.
Dude, it's crazy. This town is just like...
Make up for the lost time in the winter, huh?
Yeah. But that's the thing. Everybody packs it in to like 3 months.
So what do people do that don't have motorcycles to work on in the wintertime? What do you know? What do they do?
I don't know. Play hockey.
Oh, yeah. Hockey.
Play hockey. Ice fish.
Drink ice fish.
Watch TV.
I love how there's just bar, like neighborhood bars. That's one of my favorite things out here. It's just like you're going through the neighborhood and there's like a building that almost looks like a house, but it's a bar.
Oh yeah, you know? For sure.
There's neon lights.
Oh, dude! In 20 years ago, there was like million. There was so many more of those than there are now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, in 50 years ago, I'm sure. But I mean, I think like 20 years, they started to like kind of fall out a little bit. But
yeah, I was talking. Was it Jeremy told me like was it 1970 was the peak? 79 maybe. 79 was the peak of the population here in Milwaukee.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, yeah, and back then there was any corner of any neighborhood, don't matter what the size, there was a bar on it, if not four, you know?
That's wild.
But that was like how people, you know, socialized and stuff. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just staring at their phones. Yeah. Me included, man. I'm, you know, as I find myself doing that shit all the time. I gotta stop.
I pulled out for one thing and do 10 things I didn't want to do.
Yep, exactly.
Or didn't plan on doing.
Yeah. You know, like you go out to like look up somebody's number, send a text message to one of your friends or something, and suddenly you're just like in this wormhole and it's 45 minutes
later. Dude, I've gotten rid of all the little icons on the apps that say notification numbers.
Oh, right.
Like I don't.
That's good.
You know, like that way I don't see, fuck, there's 20, mm-hmm. 20 notifications or 10 messages. It's just like.
Yeah.
When I decide that I have time to look at that, that's when I'll click it.
There you go.
That's helped. Like, way more than I... And then it's, like, disappointing to even think that I have to do that to control myself. It's like, what have I come to, you know? Like,
dude, no shit.
I'm putting, like, restraints on my...
I know. You gotta you gotta self-restrain yourself. I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. There's, like, I just read this morning that there's, like, they're gonna propose this bill that, like... The endless scrolling for like your Facebook feed or your Instagram feed, they're gonna like it's they gotta put some boundary, they want to put some boundaries on it so you can't just sit there for like 3 or 4 hours at a time and just
ridiculous.
But it's insane that they would,
you that it's
know,
even gotten into the,
that they would propose regulation.
Yeah.
It's a whole other thing.
This is ridiculous that Instagram doesn't end. We've got to do something about this. Who do these people think they are?
Yeah, just
endless content? No.
We thought that was going to be the best, but it's not the best.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
I'm going to pour some more of this, dude.
Yeah. Did they have coffee and stuff at the...
Oh yeah, dude. I was the first one up. I got to make some pour over, like, fucking strong. You ready for some more?
Yeah.
Yeah, when everybody came down there as I was, like, boiling the water out of the tea pitcher thing.
Do they have a breakfast? Like, do you get, like, is it like a kind of motel breakfast?
Don't push
like
it.
Oatmeal or anything?
No, it's like self-make your own breakfast after you go buy it at the store and stick it in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's set up. So for anybody that doesn't know, we're talking about this hostel I stayed at. It's like it's got a communal kitchen space. It's set up for people that are going to be there for a few days or a week, you know? Like you can put some groceries in there. There's a big refrigerator you can use. Coffee maker, stove, like...
Pots and pans.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty rad. It really... You know, I don't know. I guess I just forgot that those were a thing. Because I guess they're not really a thing.
No.
There's not a ton of them, but I'm going to start... thinking about that, like, in my head as I travel, like, huh, maybe there's a hostel here that's got a $20 bed, you know, and a place to make some coffee in the morning.
Yeah. Is that all it was, 20 bucks?
I think it was 28 bucks.
Nice.
$20, 28 bucks. I mean, for $45, you can normally get a hotel outside of town.
You're right.
45 bucks, and then those guys make the coffee for you. The sheets are already on the bed.
Yeah.
You don't have to take the sheets off when you leave for checkout. And you have a room to yourself.
So it's like, maybe. You know, and there's a waffle maker downstairs.
Yeah. I think they might. They had a waffle maker there, but it was like in the cabin. You still had to like pull it out, plug it
get
in.
Get your own waffle mix. Like,
yeah, you had to go get your own. Yeah, I mean. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's new. I mean, that's the first one that's been here.
But that, and that's my first. That may, they may not all be like
yeah.
that. Maybe some of them.
I remember
maybe
going
the sheets
to
on the bed. I mean, I just thought. I'm not trying to down talk this player or something, but you know, we go in there. She just throws the sheets on the raw bed. I'm like, I don't even remember the last time I put sheets on my own bed. You know? I'm not even sure how to do this right now. I maybe want to just pull out my sleeping
bag.
Yeah.
Just put it right on there. Yeah.
I don't even want you guys to have to do laundry.
Yeah.
You know, like, let me just use this cushion.
Yep.
But I did. I thought about just getting the top sheet and just laying it down. I was like, no. I'll get the spongy, you know, thing.
All right, yeah.
Wrap it around the corners of this deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll do that next time, though.
You've been living outdoors mostly, or?
Yeah, I tried to. The bugs have been bad this year, dude. Like,
and all the rain. Nuts.
It's like, they're bad everywhere. Like, the bugs, and not even just bugs, but like the mosquitoes.
I know.
They will bite your shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I wear sleeves and pants all the time. But I like to just sleep on my bag outside.
Yeah.
Like, when I have to set up my tent, I'm like, not stoked about it.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm stoked to have a tent when it's like raining.
Yeah.
But, or when there's bugs out.
Yeah. Do you have one of those ones that's just like, just a space? Basically, it's a tent, but it's only a tent when you put the rain cover on it. Otherwise, it's just like mosquito net.
Yeah, it's just a mosquito net.
Yeah.
Unless I put the fly on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Two poles.
Yep.
It's got like the rain fly goes out in front so I can have shit outside the tent.
Right.
And I actually have my neighbor just bought a campground in Sturgis.
Oh, wow.
Fucking sick. So he's hauling my race bike in my big tent.
No
way. So when I get to Sturgis, I'm going to have like, I'm going to be able to fucking stand up almost in my tent. Pretty stoked about
that. That's awesome.
You know, maybe he even set it up. This guy seems pretty excited, you know?
Like, he bought a campground or like... Like a space or like a campground?
Campground.
No way.
Yeah.
He's into it.
Yeah, he just...
Everybody's heard this story a million times, but I got back from Mexico and there was like one of his bulls was on my property. He just showed up. He's like, hey, I got a bull on your property. You want to help me move it? And he's like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, that's my chopper. You ride that thing? And, you know, he has a bike that he doesn't ride very much, I don't think. And yeah, he was like, I bought a campground in Sturgis. And I didn't think much of it at the time. I was like, you know, who is this random guy?
Yeah.
But yeah, once I found out I wasn't getting any perks for racing, I was like, I hit him up. I was like, what's up with that camping, bro? And then he was like, I got a trailer. I'm hauling shit. If you need me to haul anything, I'm like, yep. So I took a bunch of shit down there, all my gear.
So he's got it all. Well, is it like a piece of land that he's got to improve, or like it already was a campground?
It was a campground. Like his buddy's family owned it, and they wanted to get rid of it. So
wow.
They bought it.
Killer.
Yeah. Have you been to Sturgis?
Never.
Dude, I know. Real?
I know. I thought I was going to go this year, and I just can't.
Come on.
No.
It's not too late.
No, I got
to. You can go to the X Games on the way there. First race is Tuesday.
Yeah.
Hill climb drag racing.
My dad's coming in town.
He would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he would not love it. He's a car guy. He's from Houston, yeah. He's a car guy.
So he still lives in Houston?
Yeah.
Damn.
He wants to come up here and get out of the heat.
I bet he does.
Yeah. So.
Is this supposed to be, is this like weather consistent with how it normally is?
It's cool now. It's nice. This is not like how it is today in the 70s or yesterday. No. Yeah, not really. It's usually yesterday. Like in the 80s and kind of humid.
Still nicer than Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Houston's fucking. Dude. You gotta swim around. Like, dude. Just to like walk outside, you're swimming.
He owned a bunch of salvage yards when I was a kid, so that's where I worked. You know, I started going down there when I was like 11, just working the summers down there, just like cleaning the yard, collecting parts. But just, you got to drink so much water to be outdoors, like working all day outdoors.
It just goes right through you.
Fuck.
Just, I don't know how. I used to work in a greenhouse, like a bunch of greenhouses, but they'd be like 120 degrees.
Damn. That's even worse because you're.
When I would drink so much beer as soon as I left, like. Wouldn't drink any water leading up to work. It'd be all booze. And then I would try and drink water while I was there.
Yeah, to try to catch up during
now,
the day.
Now, I don't even think I could. Without the booze, not sure I could stay hydrated.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what.
Just drinking water like crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to go to the store and buy like a huge sack of lemons and like big bags of sugar and just like, and we'd have these big, huge like buckets and we'd just make like, you know, 15 gallons of fucking lemonade, you know, and just drink that shit all day long, you know, me, all the dudes in the back, you know, would just be like, so, yeah, but it's too hot, but I missed her, but I'm going to make Sturgis one of these years. I just, this year is not really working out.
Yeah. I've been talking about doing like an anti-Sturgis rally, like on a different time, just text messages only,
right?
No fucking flyers.
Right.
Meet up, camp, and ride.
Yeah.
Because the ride, there's so much good riding there.
Is it? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. I've heard about it. You know, it's like every time you hear about those, when people talk about those, say, like, you got to go, you know, and you're like, yeah, I'll go one of these days. And then you go, and you're like, fuck yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't do this sooner.
And if you, like, I think the hardest thing about Sturgis is, like, if you're going for your first time, is, like, not knowing where to go.
Yeah.
Like, not knowing when to be at this, you know, which events. When to hit the roads. I mean, the biggest advice I give is like, all the roads clear out right before sunset. Like everybody, all the fucking baggers are like, got to get back to camp before the sun goes down. So like all the roads clear out like right before sunset. So needles, rush, all that stuff. It's good.
Killer.
Good riding.
But the cops are pretty heavy about drinking, right? So you got to like just keep.
Bring money, dude. They're not, I mean. You know, like bring money to get your bike out of the impound and then to pay them off in the morning.
Yeah.
It's not really like a payoff. They're like, hey, $500 and we're not going to,
won't press charges.
Not going to give you a DWI.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, they're not, dude, they just want to make some money.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's like.
Yeah. And they don't want to have to process all these people coming back into town.
Exactly.
Fuck that.
You know, and like when you see somebody ride out of town two up. You know, riding into test with us. When you see people riding into town two up in the morning, that dude, you know, he lost his bike the night before. He's going back to get it.
out of the impound.
That's awesome.
But I mean,
wait, when is it?
It starts this weekend.
Yeah, but are you? But the X Games is this weekend, right?
X Games is this weekend, so I'll miss like the first. You know, I'll miss a handful of racing.
You're gonna go to Minneapolis first.
Yeah.
Are you racing up there?
Nope. I mean, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna at least get my chopper on the track. Yeah. And, like, ride around for a photo shoot. Like, when I say photo shoot, like, hopefully somebody will fucking take a photo of me on the X Games track on my chopper.
Hell yeah.
And then my buddy Carlos is racing. So as soon as he gets done racing, probably leave from there.
Yeah.
And Eagles of Death Metal are playing Monday night in Sturgis.
That's awesome.
So like that's the...
That'd be fun.
That's what I plan on, just showing up at Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah.
And then drag race hill climb the next day. And then Snooper Hooligan. We're opening up for Snoop Dogg.
With oh, the right. Hooligan racing. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
And then... talking to Pat from Lead Sled, he like knows of this like water park, water amusement park at a hot springs we're gonna go to on Thursday.
Killer.
I know. And if that time allows, like, I'll make week. It to like Topless Tuesday in Alzada.
Where's that?
It's like in Montana, like right across the border. It's just,
oh really,
it's just a bunch of fucking topless girls.
Nice.
It's a shit show. Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Shit show.
They got Beaner judging it this year. It's a full-on competition.
Damn.
Yeah, he took me last year. I couldn't believe it. Like, it was hard to take in.
All right. You can pretty girls?
No. No, I mean, there's like, for every 100, there's one.
Yeah.
And there's like 200-300 girls there. So it's like 2 or 3, but you'll never see them. They're like lost in the swarm.
Right.
But no, there's some pretty ladies.
That's, I mean, it's just fun.
Yeah, it's just fun. Just everybody, you know, people that are partying like that are fun to be around. They're stoked, you know. Like sometimes it's a bit much.
Yeah.
You don't want to stay all day long.
Yeah.
But it's
wait, what's the campground where they have like a, like people, there's like a nude day or something like that?
You mean
or
like the fucking the titty old people, parade?
Or yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, all of them? No, Glencoe.
Yeah,
has like the fucking parade route, dude. Yeah. And that's,
it's like a nudist parade or something, right? There's like, or is it just topless?
I don't. Yeah, it's nudist.
I think it's like something. Naked everybody.
It's like, it's still pretty tame compared to Rot Rally in Texas. Like that's the golf cart nude fest, where they like they move their motorcycles out of the trailer so they can get their golf cart out. And then just take all their clothes off, stick them on their bike, and then ride the golf cart around.
No way.
Oh, it's insane.
Where's this?
In Austin.
No way.
Dude, look. When I went, I saw a cop. And the cops are there. Cop, like, waves down a golf cart. And there's, like, two dudes, two girls, all butt naked, with a trailer and a stripper pole. And there's a girl dancing on the pole. And on the front of this golf cart, there's this giant dick that squirts fireball. Okay, and the cop's like, hey, you guys come here. And they all get out butt naked, just belly up to the cop. And he's like, you guys can't dance on the pole while the vehicle's moving.
That's where they draw the line.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, oh shit, that's cool.
Don't dance on the pole while the vehicle's moving. I didn't know, it was like just God. In shock, you know, like. Am I really witnessing this?
Oh, that's rad.
So at least they're safe.
Yeah.
You know, I would have hated to see that girl get skinned up.
Yeah.
But after seeing that, like, I heard Glencoe is a wild party, but I went there and I was like, ah, you guys.
What's this thing in Texas called?
Rot Rally. Republic of Texas Rally. And it's a great show. Like, they do a lot of sweet shit. Great. What's crazy is, like, the fucking titty parade is so big, like they'll have big bands play and nobody's over there. Everybody's at the titty parade. It's
right.
Just like,
right.
Everybody's just getting drunk and riding mini bikes. I mean, they're full size dressers, golf carts, whatever.
Yeah, you just know? Just a parade.
There's just like mini pools set up. Like, it's insane, dude.
And it's in Austin?
Yeah, it's like...
Like in town, or is it like at a campground or something?
No, it's like at the convention center.
Oh, really?
Like in the parking lot of the convention center.
Jesus.
Full on insanity.
That's awesome. That's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. I've been once.
And I suggest everybody goes at least once. You can make your own decisions after that. You guys got anything like that up here?
No, nothing that wild. Not that I can think of, no.
The only thing I've heard that's close to that is like the Smokeout Rally, which I've never been there.
Yeah, I haven't been.
I'm sure there's other places that get that wild.
Yeah. No, not Hood Bush used to be pretty wild when they were doing that up here. That was a pretty good time.
Was that up here?
Yeah. That was only for a couple of years. It was pretty wild. But, like, you know, it was, like, wild and then it was just over. It just was, like, crazy.
Like the event?
Yeah, like 2 years or 3 years and it was just, like, done. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Who put that on?
A bunch of dudes that were, like, younger chopper dudes from around here.
As Hood Jerry Bush guys. Would call them the neo-chopper guys.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, they, you know how it is. Like, younger guys started riding Sportsters and then, you know, graduated to, like, building fucking super rad shit. Yeah. Came from BMX and skateboarding, you know.
Yeah.
That same story, but, like, awesome dudes, still really great friends. And
so when did you start riding?
I got to start riding when I was a little kid. My dad built us mini bikes, and then my brother...
Like pull starts?
Yep. And then my brother and I got a YZ80, I think, when I was, like, 11 or 12, and my brother was 8 or 9, and we shared that.
Sick.
Yeah. So we got to ride that, and, that was, like, that's how it started. And then...
Did you immediately start riding on the ice, or did you just have to, like, look at it?
Oh, no. That was, like, way later. I didn't even, like, I was probably 35 before I started riding on the ice.
Really?
Yeah.
So what'd you do as a kid on the ice? Just fucking...
Skate. Yeah.
You play hockey?
Played hockey, but not organized hockey. Just like go after school and, you know,
like
skate in jeans and, yeah. Like use brooms if you didn't have a stick, you know, like just kind of whatever, you know. Use branches, just playing.
Were you into sports growing up?
Not too much, no. Yeah.
You skate?
No. We skated. See, I grew up in the country, so like we just had like long driveways. So we would skate at this one kid's house. They had this long, like curvy driveway. Downhill. So we did downhill.
Sick.
Yeah. So we did all downhill by us.
I love skating. I used to race downhill. I've been really? 60 miles an hour on the skateboard.
Way.
Yeah, it's fucking Holy great. Fuck.
I was into that stuff for like a minute, and then I was like, "Fuck, I'm
Dude,
too
the
old."
Dude, the technology got to where like anybody can stand on the board and go fast as fuck. And
yeah.
You got the ball.
Because the trucks are just like super stiff and.
Yeah. Well, they're just. They figured out the geometry, you know, like, and then they do like the weird angles, like the boards where the board is like dropped down lower than
right,
the tracks.
Yeah.
And yeah, they Wild. Go fast as fuck. And it's easy. Like you just got to have the balls to do it. The stopping and turning, that's where it gets real technical. Like drifting around a turn where there's a guardrail.
Yeah.
You know, just in case you don't make it.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like all stoked about that for a minute, and then I was like, no, man, I'm too old to be getting into this shit right now.
So that was recently?
Yeah, I was like 8 years ago or something like that.
Dude, that's when I was doing it.
Yeah.
Fuck, it was so rad.
Yeah. And I was just like, nah, I'm
good. I got enough shattered hobbies. I broke
really?
My first bone.
Doing that?
Years ago, yeah.
Just launching at high speed or hitting something?
No, just drinking and skating in a parking garage. I'm like, you know, we just go skate parking garages and, you know, drink and smoke weed and take the elevator up and go back down.
Mm.
It's all fun. And then somebody, my good friend wrecked in front of me, like just slid out. No big deal. And instead of me like jumping off my board and running, like I was down low and I just stuck my leg out thinking I could just come to a complete stop. I thought I was just going to stop my entire weight and it. I put my foot down at the perfect angle and something had to give and it just shattered. Oh, dude. And I didn't even know what happened. I just like, I'm on the ground, so I just get up and stand on it and it...
Did it come through the skin?
No, it didn't come. I mean, it was like bulging, like pushing the skin out. And I remember the kid, he was like, you know, we're in a garage. I didn't want anybody to get in trouble. I'm like, dude, go get some help. Like, I gotta get out of here before we call anybody. And he's like, all right. And I look at it, I'm laying there like, fuck. And the first kid comes walking up the garage and he goes over there in this giant concrete parking garage. Hey, don't let him know how bad it is.
You're like, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
yeah.
already know. I saw it. So they gather up some guys, and there's like, I don't know, four or five guys. And, you know, I'm big. I'm a big dude. They're holding me, and there's this one poor kid, like, in charge of holding my foot, you know? And he and can feel it grinding.
No structural integrity.
I can feel it grinding. And we get out of the parking garage. We go around the corner, call the ambulance, which was the most retarded idea. Should have just thrown me in a truck and taken me to the hospital. These fucking, you know, Bill and Ted show up in the ambulance, and they didn't have a splint, so they used one of those, like, roadblock things.
Oh, really?
So it's, like, tied to my leg, but it goes all the way up here on my shoulder.
What the fuck?
Every time I move my arm or they hit a bump, I'm, like, fucking moving my leg.
No way.
And then they got lost. I could just, like, hear them running over potholes and arguing and doing U-turns.
What the fuck?
My fucking stoner ass friends could have got me there a lot quicker, more effectively.
Yeah, less could've money.
Could have used a skateboard.
Yeah, yeah, as a splint.
Wouldn't have come all the way up to my fucking shoulder.
Oh, dude.
But yeah, skateboarding. That's how my face is broken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you break your face?
Well, I have my teeth and
yeah.
nose. Yeah.
Looks good, though. You wear it well.
I gotta own it, man.
Yeah, man.
I tried to get a gold tooth in Mexico, but all I got was cornrows.
Oh.
But I'll get it. It'll happen eventually.
There you go.
Yeah. Speaking of Mexico, Jeremy said you raced the Baja.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was
we just
insane.
Went from riding a KZ or YZ80 to racing the Baja.
Baja.
Yeah.
Well, I was really into dirt bike stuff when I was younger, so that was just like a, you know. And a bunch of the dudes that I knew from around here had been going to Mexico just to go ride.
Really? Like riding to Mexico from here? Or just
no,
like
trailer down there and just dirt ride bikes? Dirt bikes for a week. Like, take a backpack.
Sick.
And just,
I'm on it.
Just
I want to do
rip
it.
Around. And so I just, like, started talking to those guys. And then they're like, come with us next time. So we went down there and just, like, did, like, a, you know, one of those trips where you just, like, just wear your moto gear. Keep, like, some, like, fresh socks and underwear and a pair of jeans in your backpack, some t-shirts, and then you just ride until you find a place, just a shitty motel or something. And they kind of had a route they had kind of figured out. They've been doing it for a few years.
So
just pay $20, like, sleep in this flea bag and just get up the next morning and just ride. And it was great because, you know, you can buy gas, anything you need everywhere you go, so there's always like someone on the side of the road selling gas or
see, that's wild.
Yeah, it's cool. So that's how we got started. Then I was like, well, I want to do the, let's do the actual 1,000, the race.
Yeah.
And then, so a bunch of dudes that had been doing it were like, yeah, man, let's fucking do it. So we put a team together and got a couple of XR650s, and that was the team. But it's epic, man. I mean.
So did you pilot the whole bike the whole time?
No,
or did you,
no,
you
we switched. We had like five guys. So
and was it the 1,000?
It's 1,000. But it was the 40th anniversary. That was in 2007. So they added 400 miles. So it was 1,400 miles.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
You dude, can you imagine like riding trails from here to like your hometown, like to where you live?
Yeah, it's insane.
Like in, you know.
I rode a 60-mile dirt road on my chopper the other day.
Not good.
That was
I
like
it was
I
fun,
think
though.
That's gonna make my the, when I ride that road on my dirt bike like
yeah even
really
better,
easy
yeah.
you know but yeah 1400 miles and that was nice like that was a gravel road. I can't imagine what the trails are like.
It's kind of like that. It's you know it's four wheel drive roads. Yeah. It's all dual track because it's cars and trucks and stuff on it and those like
so you got
those
two
trophy
options.
Trucks
it's like
yeah
double
which
track.
Side do you want to ride on
yeah. yeah.
But it's fucking wild, man. I mean, you know, it's a long distance. It's most of Mexico is like super rural. There's only that in the Baja Peninsula is just that one highway. There's some, you know, roads that spur off of it, but it's really just that one highway. So for support, I mean, that's the thing that people don't understand. I mean, yeah, it's like physical. It's big deal to like ride that far and get your, you always got to be leapfrogging your dudes in front of you, your riders in front of you.
Yeah.
So that you're at the stops. Because if you miss it, like the rider, he doesn't know. You know, I mean, this was back before we had like.
Well, if you miss the racer, he just goes.
Yeah, he
past
just keeps
you.
Going because he doesn't know where he is. You know, it's not like there's like There's big mile markers saying like, this is mile marker. Yeah. You
this
know?
Is when you're supposed
852.
To
852. There's nothing like that. I mean, if there's not a one of your friends standing with a sign on the trail.
Yeah, you're
saying stop. You're fucking, you're so focused, man. You're just fucking ripping for like 8-10 hours at a time. You know, so like,
fucking sick.
And you need gas and water and food. So they have these, like, you can buy subscriptions to these, like, these companies that set up, like, you know, two dudes or a dude with, like, you know, 50 gallon drums of gasoline in the middle of nowhere with an easy up and a bunch of water and some bananas and power bars and shit. Maybe some, like, parts for, you know, whatever the common bike is at the time, like clutch levers and brake
levers. Oh, they set it up and sell that.
And
sell
you buy
your ability
it.
To...
Yeah, so you... Because if you don't have a support team with, like, three vans...
Yeah.
With, or four
all
vans...
Shit.
With, like, to make sure you're getting in front of the bike, that's really the only way to do it. Because, plus, in these rural areas, I mean, there's no way... I mean, to get to where the race course is from the road is a motherfucker. Like, it could be 50 miles from the main road, all on four-wheel drive roads,
holy
to get
shit.
To the course. So it's like, it's fucking...
Yeah, that guy breaks down. Whoops.
Yeah. And this is back, this is 2007, so like, yeah, there was cell phones and shit, but it was like more like you had to buy like
satellite phones.
Yeah. And they didn't really work that well. And you didn't have like, you had paper maps to try to figure out where the fuck the course was and to try to get, you know. Dude, it's logistical fucking craziness.
Oh, my
Especially
word.
Back in the, you know.
Yeah, because GPS before, stuff, that was just getting dialed.
That was just getting going.
Yeah.
Staying on the course is easy because, like, it's pretty well marked. Like, you can see, especially if you're not one of the first, if you're not, like, number one in your class and you're blazing the trail and it's, maybe the trail isn't that easy to
gotcha,
see.
But yeah.
But if you're coming up like we were, you know, back of the pack, there'd been a million
tracks.
People that had gone before you. But the weird thing is like the locals will fucking take the course markers and they'll divert you off into like shit that you don't know. Like,
I've heard this and seen this.
Yeah.
I saw what it was, a documentary about a father and son that did that. And yeah, they ran into the same thing. They get to a spot and they're like, fuck, the science would go that way. Don't go that way.
Yeah. Well, are you like, you're not paying attention. You're just following tracks. And all of a sudden you're like in this fucking silt bed and buried up to your axles. And then there's a dude standing there going like, hey man, I'll pull you out for $50, you know?
No
and you're
way.
Like, what the fuck? And then, suddenly you're like, all these cars and trucks are fucking buried. And there's a bulldozer just slowly pulling them all out. Everyone's fucking paying. Cause you know, it's fucking rural Mexico, man. It's so lawless.
Wow, did that happen to you?
I got out, but yeah, because I was on a motorcycle. I was able to fucking pull it out, but it was a motherfucker to get it out. But like, people will fucking dig trenches and fill it with beer bottles, you know, like these guys. I was coming through, the sun was coming up. I was tired. I've been riding all night. I started at like 11 o'clock at night, and it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'd just been through all these silt beds. Just so hard to maneuver, and it's like morning, so you know it's kind of foggy near the coast, so like my glasses and everything kept getting wet and all that silt was just like covering my shit, and I'm trying to eventually just took my goggles off
and then
my glasses got covered and I took my glasses off, and then I finally got out of it and I got on some like stable ground. And I'm riding and I'm seeing like campfires. Like every once in a while, you'll see somebody out there like camping and like waving, you know. But I started seeing like lots of campfires and people partying and people going like this, you know. And you're like, what are you know? You're kind of like, oh, cool, right on, you know. Like, but then you're like, wait a minute. This is like Wednesday morning at like 7 a.m. in the middle of fucking nowhere, dude. Like 40 miles from a real road.
Yeah.
Like, Your brain's kind of being like, what are all these people doing out of here? And all of a sudden you're doing this at like 60 miles an hour, you know?
Over
you're like,
dirt.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, wah, you fucking hit this kicker of a jump that you can't see. They built this fucking, the locals built this fucking jump.
No way.
And as you fucking, because you're like, why are all these people, wah. And as you're fucking skying and seeing all the wreckage of all these bikes and trucks.
Oh my God.
And all these people are just fucking raging. huge bonfires and people drinking beer, and just for that they built this huge fucking kicker jump just to see who'd come through and who could make it and who didn't. Yeah. And that was the fucking party.
That is awesome.
And I mean, that's Superman off this thing, just like, holy fuck, I fucking landed it, landing on my balls, like my feet off the foot pegs.
Oh my word.
But I made it. No skill involved, just pure luck.
Did you
go get a
beer? I was, you should have stopped and got a beer.
Fuck, I was like, get me out of here, man. They would
have been like, yeah, you made it.
I should have.
Yeah, you'd have been like the freaking god of the party at that point.
But there's wreckage of fucking trucks and cars and
those
motorcycles
guys
that
all over there
rolled. Yeah, that rolled over, like, could make the fucking. It's Mexico, man. It's fucking crazy.
You gotta plan on that shit.
But we made it 48 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many people were on your team?
39 hours. Five guys. So we kept trading off.
Mm-hmm.
Five guys. One, two, three. No, me, Brian, Dave.
See, I didn't think about, like, you know, beating the bike to the next spot. Like, you do have to have at least two vehicles.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was thinking, oh, on the road, the van or truck can obviously go faster than the. But no,
but not really. No, the bike's going
roads,
faster.
Now that I've been down there, those fucking roads are shitty.
The roads are shitty. I mean, yeah, on Highway 1, but it's like every race team is on Highway 1.
Mm-hmm.
And it's packed. But it's like only two lanes.
There's another race going on. the fucking chase vehicles.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
and then it's, you know, and it's like you see cars like wiped out because it's only two lanes and it's all the trucking for, you know, all the way to Cabo and back is like on that road. So
regular,
it's like
shit still going on.
Yeah, regular
life.
They
didn't take a break for the race.
And it's not a big road. It's not like a freeway. It's just a two-lane road with a shitty shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So there's wrecked cars and accidents and shit all over the place. And there's fucking just people getting robbed. I mean, I don't have a bad thing to say about Mexico. People get robbed here all the fucking time. So it's not like that, you know. But out there, man, it's like the middle of nowhere, and there's no fucking. The only cops around are the ones shaking you down. So, like, pull you over. You were speeding. And you're like, no, I wasn't. They're like, yeah, you were. So it's awesome. But anyway, yeah, that's how Jeremy was our pit crew.
Yeah.
And that's how he hatched the idea for the River West 24. So he's like, man, we should do like a bicycle race in town with like that goes like around the clock. And I was like, yeah, man, that's a great idea.
Were you at the race this weekend?
No. I was up at my land with my brother hanging out. Give me another bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that sounds rad.
Yeah.
Just the way he's got the community working together.
Man.
And like,
it's great. And there's like a couple hundred volunteers and everybody handles their like corner,
like,
of the
900.
Yeah, right.
1500 participants, 900 volunteers, I think is what he said.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's really wild.
So have you done any other kind of like endurance racing like that?
We've done like, there's like 3-hour ice races and stuff like that, and
sick
road race stuff. But I kind of started out like in the metric world. I didn't start out in choppers. Like, I started out in like dirt bikes.
So
cafe
how did
racers.
You make the switch? Because one thing I noticed, like all the kids I rode dirt bikes with growing up, they never made it to the street.
Right.
Like, they never made the transition. I always wondered why until I started riding dirt again, and I'm like, oh, because dirt is so much fucking fun, you know? Like, and there's no fucking giant semi trucks that can run you over on the dirt trails.
Well,
like,
I started.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Well, because it is so much fun.
Yeah.
I started out in dirt, and then I got into cafe racers in the 80s. And then 90s.
Like the mod
late
80s, rockers,
90s, yeah. Cafe. Like clip ons, rear sets, bump seats, that kind of thing.
750s.
Yep. Yep. And I had a bunch of friends in Chicago that like all had like Nortons and Triumphs and Ducatis, and everybody had a different bike. I had a BMW that I cafe'd out. I still have it. And then I got into like, I was into like road racing. So we were doing vintage road racing in Arma. So like road race, started out with Ducati singles. I'm just not enough. Good enough mechanic to keep those things running, so switched to CB350s and with a buddy of mine, and we did that for a number of years, and we got into sidecar racing, so we were doing sidecars for a while.
Fuck, you did sidecar racing like on the road?
Yeah, on road race tracks. Yeah.
Whoa. Which guy were you, pilot or the...
I did both, but for our team I was the driver.
What do they call the guy in the cockpit?
Well, the The pilot, pejorative one is the monkey, but the passenger.
Yeah. I figured there had to be something to call that guy. Monkey.
I don't mind calling them monkeys, but some people take offense. I don't know why. But yeah, but so it's the passenger and the driver. So my buddy Tim was the passenger. He was like also the mechanic.
He was the monkey.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was Andy really was good.
The mechanic.
Yeah,
that's handy.
Yeah. We had a like Kawasaki 900.
While you're riding down the road. You're like,
oh shit, this thing's coming apart. But we were a good team. We had a lot of fun. That was a really good time.
Dude, that looks wild.
That's super fun. It's so much fucking fun, dude. I mean, the new ones that they have now, the modern ones are like, they're all carbon fiber. They're basically like three-wheeled Indy cars, you know, with like 1,200cc motors in them. Yeah. So they're fucking epically fast. And they can turn on a dime and... But the old school, like the vintage ones, the ones that like from the 80s, 90s, like ours was like KZ900 powered and it was fucking fast. It's a short bike. It's a short rig, but it's like, you know, the brakes, you have different brakes. You have like this brake setup. So you have a front brake, you have rear front wheel brake, you have a brake on the rear wheel, you have a brake on the chair wheel.
And the driver controls all of them?
Yep. And you can dial in like how you want to have like most of the braking stuff work. So like you can have like your chair wheel be 25%, your front wheel be like 50%, you know.
And there's only one brake switch?
Or no, you can do fronts and rears, but it's like, I can't remember how it was set up on ours. The rear, I could never get a handle on it. The guy sold it to us was like, it was super complicated. I'm not a good breaker anyway. It's just like...
Yeah, brakes for stopping. Yeah. You're not racing. You're not braking.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I tell people, I don't have brakes because I'm trying to go.
Yeah, I'm trying to go fast. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's pretty heavy rig and it would, you know, big fat tires on it. And it was short, but so it would slow down pretty quick. So...
Yeah.
But you could, once you got good at it, you could like come around the rumble strip on a corner and just lift that chair wheel up and just go right across the whole thing and then drop it back down. You know, so you could come in like right close to it, or somebody who didn't want to give you room to pass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lift it up!
You just lift it up like right over.
So sick!
Yeah. So great.
Yeah, I threw my kids in one and to lifted them up in the air. They fucking loved it. My wife was in on the back. She's like trying to push it down. That's not how this works.
I know. That's the thing that's tough was when you're a passenger because you just don't have any control, you know? You just like...
No.
You just... The first time I went out, I had a buddy. There was a guy here. There was like... There was a good community of like sidecar racers in Milwaukee. Small, but, you know, there's not that many of them like nationwide.
So come together.
Yeah. So this dude was like, hey, man, you know, we were always interested in it. And Road America weekend was coming up and he's like, hey man, you had expressed interest in being a passenger on a sidecar. There's a guy in town from California, needs a passenger. His passenger wasn't able to make it. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, fucking
wait a second. So you're for your first time, you jump with some dude you don't even fucking
know. Yeah, I don't even know. So I drive up to Road America, which is like, you know, 60 miles north of here.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a Thursday morning or Friday morning for practice. And it's, you know, it's still, it's almost just light. It's just sun up. Practice was starting at like 7:30 in the morning. And I got my like all my road race, like my leathers and my boots and all this stuff. And I was like, hey man, I'm Scott. And he's like, all right, cool. He's like, first of all, ditch those boots. Here, get rid of this, get rid of that. You're gonna need this, don't use that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, here's how it works. He's like, you kneel here, and you can put your hand here, and then you can put your hand there. And then when I go this way, you're gonna do this, and then grab onto this one. And then I go this way, you're gonna put your hand this way, put your foot over here, and grab onto this. Don't grab onto this one when you're doing this. And are you ready? Are you cool? Is that? It's basically like it was like a 30-second tutorial, and I was like, yeah, man, I think I got it. He's like, let's fucking go, and just like wow, wow, wow. You're this like fucking BMW like 1300cc fucking rocket ship, like carbon fiber frame.
Oh fuck,
dude,
for your first go,
my first time. And he, like, he gave me a pair of his old ratty tennis shoes and like duct taped the fucking, like the laces didn't even, like they weren't even work, just duct taped them on my feet. And then we start fucking going, man, and it's like suddenly we're going like 150 miles an hour, you know, like
holy fuck.
Fuck, dude.
Holy fuck.
And I'm kind of like, fuck. And I go pop my head up like this, and my fucking visor just rips right off the fucking top of my helmet. And the wind grabs my zipper, and rips it all the way down to the bottom of my fucking jacket. Now my jacket's like a big fucking balloon going like this, you know?
This guy's like, fucking, who the fuck yeah, is sitting in my thigh?
He turns around and he's like, dude, fucking wags his finger. He's like, don't fucking do that, you know?
Oh my God.
So I eventually figured it out, but man, it's wild, man. You come in, you're just like, you're high for fucking days after doing that shit.
I fucking bet. Dude.
Yeah, going around corners at like 120 miles an hour, drifting that thing, like, wow. He was good. He was really good.
So sick.
Yeah,
so
it was awesome. Sick. Bill Becker out of weekend? California. No, we were close though. I think we were like second or third.
Competing.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
You were hooked after that, though, huh?
Dude was totally hooked on it. We got to get our own rig.
Yeah.
So I passed near
for a... riding around that motherfucker anymore, huh?
Yeah. Gotta be in charge of my own destiny, yeah. Luckily, my best friend Tim was, like, all about it, so yeah. He trusted me. We never crashed bad, but we got in some close calls. But, man, I don't know if I'd do that anymore. It's fucking crazy, you know? It's just...
Really?
Yeah.
That's the thing of the past now.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I mean, I like all my shit works, you know, and I kind of like it like that, you know. I still like going racing. That? What's that?
How long ago was that?
That was like 2002.
Yeah, that
wasn't
even that long
2003.
Ago.
2003. Yeah. But I'm 52 now, so it's like I'm a little bit, you know, I'm a little bit older. My skills just aren't what they used to be. I like flat track racing, and I have a 42 Harley WL that I race, and I love that. Yeah. I have cushion tracks. So like running hand shift, brakeless class. That's like my favorite thing. So I love that, and I feel very comfortable, and that's kind of what I want to do, you know, that and riding on street. But anyway, so like, yeah, transition to like how to get into choppers. I met Warren through his dude, Ben. And they worked at this shop that was in town. And through Dave Cook, another guy who built, did you ever see that motorized couch that he built? He built this like motorized couch.
No.
Yeah, it was with a Hummer motor. It was fucking, or not a Hummer, Cushman motor.
Okay.
It's fucking awesome. So anyway, we had opened this restaurant. These guys pulled up and came on this couch and came inside, and I was there. And I went outside, and I was like, what the fuck? This is awesome. Like, and they're like, you want to go for a ride? And I was like, yeah. So we like went bar hopping on this fucking motorized couch. And and these guys are like the first like chop. I had kind of known of chopper dudes around, but I didn't really like know anyone. But these guys were super fun. And then we just got to be friends and just started hanging out more and more. And they were like... they were interested in the race bike stuff, and I was like super interested in like in chopper stuff, and I'm like, what about this, and what's the difference between an Evo motor and a shovel head and a pan head, and how do you ride rigid? And they're just like, what do you mean, dude? Like, you just ride it. And I was like, because I was coming from like this place in racing where like suspension was everything.
Yeah, you're like,
and
all you want to do is make your motorcycle better.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
don't want to like take the suspension off of it. That doesn't make sense.
And they were like, just ride it. And I was like, all right. So I took it around, and I was like, man, this is not that big of a fucking deal. Because, like, in my mind, and all the people that I knew, it's like rigid, it's fucking crazy, you know?
Yeah,
that's like
quit doing that in 57 for a reason. Yeah.
It's like telemark skiing is, like, unnecessarily fucking difficult, you know? Mm-hmm. But then I rode one, and I was like, man, this is awesome. And so I was, like, just peppering Warren with, like, chopper questions, and he's peppering me with vintage racing questions, and we just kind of, like, kind of did that. And that's how Mama Tried started, because I was like, he's like, let's do a motorcycle show. He's like, fuck that. I was like, no man, let's do like a show of like all the shit that we like, you know, like just the shit that we like, race bikes and choppers, and like I don't want to get into all this like cafe racer stuff, or like, or it doesn't matter, like what, just whatever our friends have that we like, like let's just do that as a show. And he's like, all right. He was kind of kicking the scream. He's like, no fucking way, shows are stupid. And I was like, you're right, they are. But this isn't going to be in a show with, like, awards or, you know, it's just going to be, like...
a party.
Yeah, a party with, like, a bunch of cool race bike shit. Because, you know, the race bike thing, the thing that's cool about it and the thing that it shares with choppers is it's all about fabrication, right? So you're, like, you're making stuff.
Yeah, just working on your own machine.
Yeah.
Like, being in tune with it, you know? Like, that's what I like about my bike and my race bike. Like, I know them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, like... I sit on my race bike and it may be a piece of shit. At least really looks that way, but like it's...
You know it and you...
I feel comfortable on it.
You did things and you made it this way and you made it that way. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't find the parts, you made them.
Yeah.
And that's how race bike stuff is. And that's how chopper stuff is.
Exactly.
And so that's the thing that they share in common. So it's like to get a bunch of those guys all together in the same room who are going like, whoa, man, how the fuck did you do that? Like, and then like...
Because I had to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Or like taking stuff that you saw on a race bike... Because the race bikes, you never really ever see them unless you're in that world, you know, unless your neighbor or someone in your family or you're in the pits. You never see that stuff. It's kind of hidden, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
Or it's not put on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, like it's.
For people to like check it out.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's like someone just built it because it's his vision. He wants it to go fast. But not, they don't understand the aesthetics. Anybody. Yeah.
You don't build that race bike so that you can show it off. You build it to fucking race.
Dude, this is the conversation I have like over and over and over when I invite race bike or competition people. And they're just like, what is it?
Yeah.
What? It's like it's a bike show that's indoors and you don't ride them around. You just show them off. And I'm like, yeah. And they're just like, why would I do that? Coming. Yeah.
In February, no.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm getting ready for Daytona, and I'm going to have all my shit apart, and, you know, so it's like it's the same conversation over and over, but then a couple guys will do it, and then they'll tell their buddy, like, no, it's actually a good time, it's fucking cool.
Yeah, it was rad. This was my first year, and the venue was amazing. I heard about it. I rode through Wisconsin, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, and the bartender at the bar I played at, this was the Wisco in Madison, and, you know, he had a panhead chopper, took me on a ride, but he told me, he's like, yeah, there's this like event that my friends do in February. I'm like, an event in February? Like, I'm bummed that I'm here in October.
November,
whatever it was, I was freezing my dick off. And I was like, I'm not. Why Coming would they do a motorcycle show in February? He's like, we're not doing anything else. And I was like, okay.
That's true.
And I just dismissed that thought. Like, never fucking thought of that again until years later.
Yep.
And I came up here and I was fucking stoked.
It's a different kind of thing because it's so fucking cold. You're really not being outside unless you're going to the ice race stuff.
Unless you're waiting to get into that fucking racing arena
at
6 in the morning.
Yep.
I'd never seen so many racers so close together. We were all just like...
just huddled
in
together.
In line, just like getting closer and closer. Like, are they ever going to let us in? It was fucking cold that morning, dude.
It sucks. I wish there was a way to like... Yeah, like build a heated tunnel. No, or something
it just
like
made
that.
Going in that much. Yeah. Everybody was stoked when everybody finally started getting inside. I mean, I guess everybody would have been stoked anyways because you're just getting that much closer to racing.
Yeah. But
that was my second race ever.
Well, that's awesome.
And dude, I'm fucking
loved
hooked.
It. Yeah.
I'm just hooked.
Fun, right?
Syrup? I mean, come on, who'd have thought, dude?
I know. You're gonna have fun in Sturgis, man. That'll be a really good time.
I know.
Gonna be a lot of people going out for that, huh?
Yeah, dude.
I know.
Sturgis has been like getting the alternative, the neo chopper crowd has like slowly been growing.
I know.
At Sturgis,
you're like making me stoked.
It's dude, it's fun, you know. And there's like to be at the Buffalo Chip, yeah, it costs a lot of money, but you can just ride through the gate, you know. Like, it's not like they have fucking spikes in the road,
yeah.
You know, just wave your arm at them. Act like you own the place.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I always
Sounds
do.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go. I got to go check it out. But yeah. I'm going to the Isle of Man to go to. I've never seen that before. So I'm going there with a bunch of buddies that I used to race with, like cafe racer stuff. And then we did an Arma road racing together.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to a guy after this that went last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Killer.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He showed me some video and I'm like, what the fuck?
Did he race
this?
There?
No, he just showed me video like where he was sitting and the bikes are, you know, you can't, like a cell phone video of that, like it doesn't. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
You were there. That's awesome. I think that's the only reason he has videos. Like, look, I was there. Like, yeah, you can't see what's happening here, but. So you're going.
I'm going with a bunch of dudes that I get to see like once a year. So that's everybody's awesome. Like, we're best buds and we only see each other like, you know, just one time a year we'd go to MotoGP when we'd go to Indy when it was there, and then moved to Austin. So we were going to Austin every year, and that was like our big annual reunion.
Were you there this year for that?
No.
For it?
No. So we're going to, just because we're going to England this year for it. So
That's rad.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That is rad. So when is that?
That's August 18th. I leave. I think it's like the, it starts like the 20th or 22nd or something like that.
It'll take a few days to get there.
Yeah. And we're going to go, our, one of our buddies lives there, so we haven't seen him in a few years.
You guys get some bikes over there to ride around?
No, we're just taking trains and stuff. But
bunch of bikers are going to go over there, not even get bikes for a day, yeah, just drink all the time.
Basically, yeah.
I'm hoping to ride some motorcycles in some other countries next year.
Yeah. Well, there's that new app, and I haven't used it yet, but there's like a it's like the Turo app for motorcycles. Have you heard about this?
I mean, there's a couple of them now.
Oh, really?
Rumble On. Is it Rumble On? Like, you know, they're kind of like a Airbnb
for motorcycles. For motorcycles. So
it
you can just
shocks me that that's a real thing.
Yeah.
I guess if I had, like,
it's so cool,
a bunch of bikes,
yeah,
then I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, you can take the XR650 out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know if I'd be cool with that.
I don't know.
Like, yeah. And how
but
does
if somebody else is, I would love to take advantage of
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Like, how do you know that they know what the fuck they're doing, or they're not that's just the going to beat the fuck out of it?
Well, I think it's probably like I guess those other apps where you get rated, you know, like, this motherfucker pissed in the bed at the house. You know, yeah, like, do you want him riding your motorcycle or whatever it may be?
You go on, like, their Facebook and check out their scene.
You can snoop
on
them. You can, but, you know, like, it. You as a renter of bikes, do you evaluate the people that rent them in that way?
Yeah.
You know, because like, I did couch surfing for a while.
Oh, yeah.
With a band, and, you know, it wasn't my account, so the guy whose account was, he's always making sure that I was on my best behavior. Like, damn, you're too dirty. You can't even come inside this couch surfing house.
Every time, like, we, Warren and I travel, like, go to shows, like, go to the one show in Portland or go to Born Free or go to Brooklyn Invitational, and he'd try to book an Airbnb and be like, oh no, we're full that weekend. And then I'd go to the exact same fucking listing and be like, hey, can I book this? And they'd be like, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because he's all fucking, you know, choppersforlife@gmail.com with a fucking beard and, you know, backwards baseball hat. And I'm all like,
they're not having it.
Huh?
Hi. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that. We did an Airbnb in Portland this year. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, so it always works out good. And I always tell the host, I'm like, hey, man, just so you know, or like...
Yeah, the guy that you turned down.
Yeah, the guy that you turned... Like, I'll do it in a really polite way and just be like, hey, man, just so you know, like, we're buds. And I get it. This happens all the time.
He's real fucking pissed.
Yeah.
But we're coming anyways.
We're going to remember that. Yeah, yeah. But they're always cool.
Oh, that's fucking funny, man. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Never had that experience.
No.
I don't think I've been turned down by any of them.
No. I don't know why he always just gets turned down, but, I mean, he's got family and kids, so now maybe it would be a little bit different.
Maybe
but
I be okay
up,
with
now
it.
I just end up booking all the accommodations for that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a good, better reputation.
Yeah. I have some history.
Damn. So in England, what are you guys staying at over there? Just going to do hostels the whole time?
Oh, you know? No, there's like a whole, like, thing you book, like, accommodation.
Oh, so it's like a package deal.
It's
for
like
the
a package deal. Like, once you get this tickets from Liverpool, like ferry tickets, once you get to Liverpool, you like go to the harbor and you get your whole package, like your ferry ticket. There's like these, I don't really understand how it works, but it's like a bus. So, like, in between races, there's all these shuttle buses that run around the whole island. So, you get your tickets for that, your accommodations. There's like a radio that you wear, like an earpiece
like a
thing
scanner.
That's like a that like is just race information, so who's on the track, when the track's like, when the roads are closed, who's on the track, what the times are, if there's an accident, you know, like all the information that you need as a spectator. Yeah, it's just like a big package deal, and so, like, I don't know, it's pretty cool, not that expensive, so it'll be fun. So yeah, we're just gonna party. So yeah, we talked about getting bikes, but everybody's so fucking busy and everyone's kind of coming in and leaving at different times, and yeah.
Yeah, you just got to try that app out, dude. Mm.
Yeah, I think next year.
I bet there's a couple other people, though, that
for
like
sure.
motorcycles that'll be there.
Yeah.
There might be some competition.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, so me and Jeremy didn't talk about it because I was hammering him with everything else. What's up with the dates for next year?
Oh, dude, I don't understand. We just can't get the Flat Out Friday venue to, like, nail down a date. because it's hockey season, so it's like that. The Panther Arena, their biggest customer is the Admirals hockey team. So they have all the dates through the winter. So they get first dibs and they can say, like,
yeah.
So to pull the ice out for another event is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another thing which I don't understand. For some reason, they can't give us a date between these two weekends, and they're like jockeying about, will it work better on this date or work better on this date to like pull the ice out for Flat Out Friday? Or will it not work at all and we have to do it in May? So I don't know. Hmm. My answer is I don't know. I got frustrated and took myself out of that conversation.
Yeah.
Maureen has a really good relationship with the Admirals owner. So he's helping maneuver that through the bureaucracy of the arena people.
Yeah.
So it's basically like Maureen and Warren are working on that. I was like, you don't need three of us. Like,
yeah, I'm going to England. Yeah. Peace out. Yeah. Have this shit figured out when I get back.
Yeah, exactly. So they're better about figuring that out. We'll have a date soon. It's been kind of a runaround. So.
How do you guys go about deciding what bikes? I mean, do you take submissions, right?
Yep. Yeah, and there's just starting to come in now, and it's like 20, thousands? 30, 40 a day. Yeah, it's wild.
So is it like, are you in charge of that? Is there like a team in charge of that? Both of us,
Warren and I. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. This one's cool. And, we only have like 80 slots.
It's kind of like Tinder.
Yeah.
You just like swipe them. They come in email. And then you redo them again.
Yeah. We kind of like make a big list, and then he has a list and I have a list, and then we go through the list, and then just like we just sit down and have beers and just go through the list. And then we've tried a bunch of different ways, like putting them on a whiteboard, or like just basically it just comes down to like sitting across the table, like you and I, mm-hmm. with our phones, going like, "What about this one? Oh, it looks a lot like this one. That guy had one last year, and it was kind of, it's not really that dissimilar, but also we have like no Ducatis this year, so we need."
And this guy's a party animal.
Yeah, yeah, and he's a fucking great. Yeah, he's a great dude. Yeah. Which is like those are all factors.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just like based on the bike. It's like if you're like a fucking great person who's like pumped.
Yeah.
And
can bring their bike in February.
Yeah, it can bring the bike in February, which is great. I mean, there's no shortage of that. There's plenty of people who want to bring bikes. Yeah. So we're lucky that way. We're super lucky, but. It's, and it's just really based on, it's not about like workmanship. It's not about style necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's just like that factor of like whatever, like if you had to pick 80 bikes, like you would just pick the shit that you like, mm-hmm. It's not like, and if we were looking at the same, if you were looking at our list, you'd make a different.
Oh yeah.
Bunch of choices. Absolutely. So it's just like whatever your personal taste is. So we try to factor in like. Well, this would be a crowd favorite because obviously the dude put in. It's not really like my style, but obviously this person put a lot of work into it.
Got a lot of likes
it.
On Instagram, dude.
Well, not even like that.
Look at this like.
No, not like that. But that doesn't really matter. But it's like sometimes like the style isn't really great, but the workmanship is like fucking. You can't deny that mm-hmm. it's rad, and it's going to appeal to someone. Maybe it's not our favorite thing. Those are the tough ones to make because like we just want to pick the shit that we like.
Yeah.
But there's a million factors. It's really hard to articulate,
Yeah.
And we have an auto response that we put on there. Like, so when
just sends them an email. Hey, we got it.
We got it.
We already put you in the trash bin. Don't worry about coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your bike sucks, dude.
I mean, I just can't imagine. I mean, did you see the show getting this big?
No. Not at all. We were just like a fun thing to do in February because there's nothing going on.
Yeah,
in February.
I would think like if you decide to do a show in Milwaukee in February, you don't expect it to get bigger than like the local stuff.
No, we'd fix it like
just
yeah.
like a party where yeah. we can all come together.
Yeah.
Pull your bikes out of the basement.
Yeah.
Show them off.
Yeah.
And then take them back down there.
Get about 30 people to like bring a bike and maybe 400 people show up. Yeah. And, and drink a beer and.
How many people came through that venue last year?
Last year, probably like. 11,000, 12,000.
Yeah. Dude, I thought it was so rad, like the maze going through it. You come in, you're like, go to one floor. I'm like, where the fuck are the bikes at? What is this? There's more vendors?
And then stairs.
Bam,
And then you walk out of that room. I was like,
yeah.
Forget the bikes. Look at this fucking building.
I know. It's so it's rad, insane, right? I know. Man. It's, and that's the other thing, like what you were saying before about like, what was the event you were talking about where there's like a bunch of bands playing but nobody's paying attention?
Cause every event like, that bands yeah. are playing. Every motorcycle event where there's music.
Where there's bands, yeah, exactly. We'll have like the greatest fucking, like spend all this money on these all these amazing bands and everyone just wants to be in yeah. the ballroom looking at motorcycles and drinking beer and talking to people.
Yeah, that's like Giddy, it works at Giddy Up because the bike stage is like by the stage.
Yeah.
So like everybody, it looks like they're paying attention to the band, but they're just like, you're facing it. Over them and look at the bikes. So they're just like, yep. look at the bikes and listen to the band.
Yep, exactly.
No, they have some great music.
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, and that's a place for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that venue.
It's great. It's really
good. Was there music this year? There wasn't music. I went to the, that film was amazing.
Yeah, the film. Because the year before we booked all these bands and spent all this money on bands and there was like, 10 people in there. So we're like, all right, well, let's spend a bunch of money on this movie and the screen and the audio and like, and still we probably had like 50 people show up for that. But
that was, dude, when I went in there, it was filled up.
Oh, that's right. The main show was filled up really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the second show.
It made me think, well, fuck, I don't need to do podcasts anymore. They just like did it all right there with video.
It was a great film.
It really was. It captured.
It was a great film.
It pointed out a lot of things that I'd kind of been stumbling around how to communicate or even hadn't figured it out.
Yeah. And
really well.
Yeah.
Really well done. Yeah. I've been trying to line up with them.
They're great people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Garrett and Lucy, they're awesome. Right, super, super nice. Yeah. Really great. So it was awesome that they brought it over and they kind of started a whole tour with it. And it's a great film. So, but yeah, that was fun to do.
What was
so
that, Oil in the Blood?
Oil in the Blood.
Okay.
Yep. And then I think we did Sugar and Spade. That was the year before.
Okay.
That's another great one. But yeah. That movie's, it's just, it's short, but it's epic. And the when they have the live accompaniment by, what's the dude? Great musician.
See, I think I have it on DVD and I haven't even pulled it out.
It's awesome. It's really, really good. But to see it live is like epic.
Yeah, seeing it on the big screen.
Yeah. That'd
be cool. Oh, yeah. Dude, I got to see Easy Rider in northern New Mexico where they filmed a lot of it.
Oh, really?
In a theater that was built in 1915.
No way.
With like five other people. We're all just like yelling at the screen.
It's kind of like the worst movie. It's like, as a movie goes, it's like, it's not that great of a movie, but it's so cool.
I smoke some really good fucking weed, and I don't smoke weed that often. I noticed a lot of things this last time. I don't know if it was because it was on a big screen. Like, I don't know. It was really awesome.
It's cool. Yeah, it's very cool. Like, as an artifact, it's cool. As like a narrative, like to sit down and enjoy like a film.
Yeah.
It's hard for me because I'm just like, this is fucking bore. You know, like it just doesn't move very fast. But no. I love all the other shit. Like, I love the people that are in it, all the costumes, the bikes, locations.
I enjoyed it watching it more this time than I ever have before.
Really?
Like, every time I'm so bummed out. Like, fuck, this is how, like, really? Come on, you lazy motherfuckers. You got tired of riding these choppers around because you're movie stars and decided to blow them up and call the fucking movie over. Well, I think there's a little bit more to it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, hell yeah.
But yeah, seeing something like that on the big screen is cool because you don't go to the movie theaters anymore. No, and I'm sure that there's... No.
And being in an old theater like that would be so great.
Oh, dude, it was...
Was it all concrete?
Not concrete, you know, it was all like plaster. Fucking nice wood shit. Really? Like the fucking... The curtain?
Yeah.
Was this huge piece of canvas with a picture of the Palisades, which is like this canyon that you ride through. In northern New Mexico that we go swimming at, and it doesn't get rolled up, it just pulls straight up and it's fucking huge.
Killer.
And it's not even that big, and it's got like the balconies and it's got the boxes up there where, like, you know, the gangsters or the president would sit, you know.
Yeah.
The only thing they didn't have was like popcorn.
Really?
They didn't have
it wasn't like an actual movie theater.
No, it was a theater.
It was a theater for plays and performances.
Yeah,
and
like the movie theaters next door. This was like a theater.
Rad.
Yeah, it was cool. It was real fucking cool. People were smaller back then. And I know this because of the way the fucking seats were in that place. They were terrible, but people were just
you were just like stuffed in.
Yeah, I was just
you're
like,
a big dude.
Fucking belt buckle loops get stuck on the armrest, so I can't even get to the fucking cushion here. And then my knees, you know.
Fuck.
Anyways,
how awesome. Where in New Mexico?
Raton. The Run to Raton.
Oh, really?
At J.P. Rodman's place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Cool. Yeah. I got to do some more shit, man.
Yeah, dude.
I want to get out of the...
Go for a ride. Put
on stuff and just go to more shit.
With shit, dude, you got a lot going on here. I mean, I went on a little fucking Milwaukee tour, or I feel like I got paraded around by Lala. Everybody was like, check this thing out. He rides it. Like, everywhere.
Like, Lala's great, man.
Dude, he is, the energy, he's just so stoked right now.
I know.
I guess this is his first fucking chopper, and he is like, dude, he's all about it.
Yeah, he's great.
So dude. It was fun. Good energy hanging on him. But, you got two fuel restaurants, and then you got some other places.
Yeah.
You got some shit going on over here. And I came in February for Mama Tribe, go to the pre-party there, and, like, the place was just fucking swarmed up, you know? Like, no place to seat. So I just, like, made my way around, pushed some people out of the way, sat down at a table, and I ordered French toast with chicken on it. And it was so fucking amazing.
Really?
That's what I got when I came back this time. Awesome. I didn't even try anything. Is there anything else good on the menu? Or what? Because that was fucking
nothing
great.
Nothing else, yeah.
That's good. How long have you had that go?
That's good. Fuel? Well, the original one is in River West, like right down the street from the hostel. And that's been there 26 years.
Oh, shit.
Started in 93. And this one just opened like 2 years ago.
Oh, the one
3 years ago?
To?
Yeah. Where I saw you?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 years ago? So pretty new.
Wow.
And we have a bunch of other restaurants, and we've been in the restaurant business here for like 25 years. So
nice.
So we have like 12 other places in town. So in summertime's our busy season, so it's a lot. Then with like Flat Off Fridays and Mama Tried. This year we had a whole bunch of stuff planned, but it just kind of didn't really pan out this summer. Just like summer just got too busy. Everybody's so busy. Warren's crazy. He's got a fabrication business. He's like fucking going crazy. And
yeah,
it's just there's so much going on. And this year we just kind of punted on doing a bunch of like other stuff. We were going to do a bunch of other Flat Out Fridays and a bunch of other races.
Oh, okay,
and
okay.
And we were going to do one in Sturgis. We were trying to get like a nationwide tour going on. Well, Jeremy did the X Games stuff, and he did the thing in Tennessee, but that's kind of more like his thing, you know? Like, we're part of it, but not really. It's like, it's really kind of his
jam. He's organizing it.
Jam, yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I was telling him. I was like, dude, you need to get a point series going.
I know, we want
racing
to.
Racing all over the country,
I know.
Dude. I've been having so much with the Super Hooligan deal, you know, just racing. Dude, that is fun. Those tracks, you never know what the fuck is going to happen.
Yeah.
The race we did in Tulsa was mind-bending.
Yeah? What was that like?
Dude, so the starting line was like in a sweeping right-hand turn. It wasn't like, you know, it's like you start.
Like already on the curve?
Yeah. On the curve. And then it goes into a straightaway next to a metal building and a brick wall. Then you're like, that's an alleyway. Then it dumps you out into the street, and it's like transition into a street with pavement. You do a U-turn around that metal building onto dirt with like a 4-foot tabletop. Then you're like out of the dirt onto a parking lot with a sweeping left, chicane, then a kicker, and then you go back onto the street, U-turn, back to the sweeping starting line turn. It was sick.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's awesome.
It was sick.
They get a lot of people turn out for that?
Dude, yeah, there was a lot of people.
And it was like, it was in, was it like downtown or just
downtown,
like in a warehouse?
Downtown Tulsa.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was wild. The guy, this guy, I think his name's John Mayo. Anyways, he fucking likes motorcycles.
That's awesome. He was the promoter?
He has like the key to the city. He like owns two of the biggest hotels and a bunch of real estate.
Oh, cool.
And was putting in that motor museum. And was like, hey, Roland.
He's putting in a museum there?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's
killer.
That was the opening ceremony. Like,
oh,
that
really?
Was the party. Here, look, there's a motorcycle museum.
No way.
Now. Yeah, he just had a fucking ton of vintage dirt bikes.
Like, really?
Just rows of every model.
No way.
Yeah.
Is it open now?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, what's it called?
Mayomoto, maybe?
Really?
Mayomoto Museum. Huh.
I haven't really been on.
I mean, who fuck goes to Tulsa?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And that event was, I mean, I think they're going to do it every year now.
That's awesome.
So that's cool.
How far is that from your house?
4 hours.
That's not bad.
I rode my chopper there in about 4 hours. And, oh, my friend took my race bike up there.
Cool.
And then he took it to California.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Were you out of California for the Stampede race?
No, I was going to go, and at the last minute I couldn't go.
Yeah.
Just with work stuff. So I was going to go with Jeremy and drive out and race, and I was kind of stoked. I was super stoked.
Yeah.
But then it just, like, just this summer has just been fucking crazy around here for just
well, I'm glad I caught you in a day when you,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. You caught me on a good day, actually.
Yeah, I talked to Jeremy in California, and I was like, I'm coming through. You going to be available? He's like, fucking 24-hour bicycle race. Like, well, who the fuck are you? 24-hour bicycle race.
You caught him at the right time. And he's got a hockey league going on right now.
Oh yeah, he organized
this really great.
He crawfished on it last night.
Yeah. Yeah, he organized this really awesome hockey league. Super fun. It's kind of just like,
you play hockey still?
Yeah. I don't play. I think he has 3 seasons a year.
Whoa.
And I'll usually get in on one of them. I don't play like I used to. I should. I'm going to get back into it. I just sort of taken a break. But his leagues are great because he kind of runs it like he runs hoop, like Flat Out Friday. It's just like, mm-hmm. He's got his own rules. Like, everybody just be cool. And like, yes, it's about competition, but that's not the whole thing. You know,
yeah.
That's not the only thing.
Yeah, I love how he does that and still keeps the competition aspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's not like everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah.
But everybody is winning.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's one, somebody's getting first place.
Yeah, somebody's going to get first place. Yeah. But it's like, but you don't have to be a fucking asshole to get first place. You know, you don't
cool.
have to fuck people over.
And that one thing I told him yesterday, I was like, the other races that I've done, like, I love the way he just communicates to everybody. You know, what's going on here? Hey, we're like the act, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's the way I think of it. Like, instead of them paying a band to fill this auditorium, we get to race here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, so we still got to put on a show for the people that are coming.
Yep.
You know, race, yeah. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, the bills got to get paid. But
yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah.
But that's not the whole, you know, it's like, yeah. But that's not the whole thing.
But just be aware.
Yeah.
That, you know, these are the things.
These are
that
considerations,
are
yeah.
It's amazing how much communication can, like, I told him yesterday, I was like, I was at a wet t-shirt contest the other day. I don't feel like they got the Jeremy Pratt talk ahead of time. Like, they were not all on the same page. They didn't realize like how they were all part of the same show. You know, like, they didn't have to be that competitive.
Yeah.
They could work together.
Together, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I was like,
for
I would really
benefit.
Love to see a Flat Out Friday wet t-shirt contest. We just call it complete opposite of flat
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly, yeah. Where it's like Jeremy has like
just,
the pregame.
You can organize
yeah.
it, you know? Like,
he could.
I mean, as good as you can organize things, I can't imagine what he could do in the wet t-shirt contest.
Yeah, that's
maybe
that's
in a, Milwaukee
that's
in February.
That's an awesome idea.
February,
yeah, that's
Milwaukee,
an awesome idea.
Wet t-shirt
yeah.
contest.
Or he has enough like really great female like people that work with him, so like just let them organize it, you know, and just like using the Jeremy Parak philosophy.
Oh fuck!
Hi, buddy.
Well, so what's next?
What's next? Order
Isle of Man.
Yeah, Isle of Man, and then we're just starting to get Mama Tried and Flat Out Friday ramped up. So
yeah, get that date.
Yeah, dude.
Get that date, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it until I saw a post the other day. Like, we know there's not a date, but we're thinking about
dude,
it.
It's
like, we're working on it.
We've been working on it, and they just like, I don't know. I mean, just to be, you know, perfectly candid, it's like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
It's been really frustrating.
Yeah.
And like, it's not like that event basically sells out. So it's
yeah.
not like they're not making money.
That's
I
mean, what Jeremy
like,
was saying. But, you know, and what I was thinking is like, but the hockey team, like, whether they may not sell out, but they do it so many times.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. But the hockey people, they've been our advocates, actually. It's the people that organize, like, all the stuff at the venue. It's all the people
logistics.
At the venue
yeah.
are just like, I don't, they can't get a straight answer.
You want us to take the fucking ice out again?
Yeah.
You're going to do this again? Like, really?
Well, they charged us for it.
It wasn't enough last year. You got to do it again.
Well, last year, because the way it's worked in the past is the circus always came to town, and we would piggyback.
Oh, because it's already out?
Yeah, because it's already out.
Or the, I guess they're canon circuses all around the country, right?
Not doing circuses anymore.
You can't train animals to do tricks.
Yeah. So it's like, now it's all like hologram.
Those fucking assholes,
circuses.
Dude.
Yeah.
Kids are never going to get to see a bear walk on a ball.
I know.
Fucking elephant, know. You know, elephant know. Rides. Do we went to a circus. We're just going to detract from this whole Flat Out Friday thing for a second. Because the circus I went to.
More interesting things.
It was like a Mexican circus.
Oh, killer.
Like, my dad's like, hey, I got tickets to the circus. I'm like, I didn't hear about any circus coming to town. He's like, yeah, probably not, you know. I didn't know what the fuck that meant or didn't, you know. Well, then I get there and see these animals that they've got. And I was like, dude, if people knew that this was happening in downtown Fort Worth right now, there'd be a fucking riot outside, dude. You can just, like, see the life missing from this bear, you know. It's just, like, walking around on the ball, you know, and the elephants, like, everything. I was like, man, this might be the only time my kids ever see this in America. Might be the last time I see this in America. Like,
yeah,
that's just,
it's on its way out. There's a big documentary series that's on PBS right now about
really
like the origins of circuses and like how Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey and all that shit was
are
like,
such good people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ringling Brothers are from Baraboo, Wisconsin. That's like that's from that circus started here.
Really?
Yeah, it's wild.
They're like, what else are we gonna do in the wintertime?
Yeah, exactly. Start a circus. Yeah. See, it's that whole, it goes back to that whole Wisconsin summertime overachievement thing. It's just like, let's fucking, you know, like, you're a juggler, you're a fucking knife thrower. It's like, it was five brothers, you know, like, you train the dogs to do this cool stuff. Like, let's put a fucking act together. And that's
outside.
How the whole thing, yeah.
We'll get everybody outside.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it starts.
Huh. That'll be interesting. There's a documentary coming out.
Yeah,
that.
It's out. It's like 3-part series or 2-part series. It's
on
fucking
Netflix,
yeah. It's
or
like
something?
No, it's on PBS.
Huh.
So it's like, it's. I think I'm like 5 hours in or something like that. It's fucking big.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a lot. But anyway, yeah. Fucking, it's a pain in the ass. I don't know. I'm kind of frustrated with the whole thing. You know it. With Bomber Tried and Flat Out Friday, all the fundamentals and like all the reasons to do all the stuff is still there, like the vibe and the spirit and the racing and the people and the people building cool shit and coming together and partying and having a good time. It's all the other stuff that really fucking sucks all the fun out of it, you know?
It's a lot of
all the other people,
man,
that you have to deal with to like get these things done, like the rent these venues and not the venue at the rave. That those people are fucking awesome. Where the Mama
Can't
Tried
imagine
show
there's
is.
Much else going on over there, huh?
No, they do a lot. They do 480 shows a year.
What?
Yeah. So they'll do, because they have four different venues in that building.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do four different concerts with four different crowds on the same. On the same night.
Holy shit. So that's probably the only event that uses the whole building,
yeah,
right?
So they're just like, dudes, what fucking day is it? Because we got fucking bands coming through.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys are fucking them up. With this.
Yeah. And they're cool. They're really cool. They're fucking really awesome people to work with. They're just kind of like, guys, please help us out. Like, help us help you. Like, we want to do this. But it's downtown stuff. It's like fucking us up. So... Mm-hmm. It's frustrating, and, you know, I don't know.
I think you guys should.
There's a whole bunch of shit I can't talk about, which I really
wish I could. You should just book the date, and if the ice is in there, then we'll race on the ice.
We were talking about that. Like, what if we just don't fucking do indoor Flat Out Friday? What if we do outdoor Flat Out Friday on Friday night outside?
Yeah.
I mean.
Melt a parking lot. Well, I was telling Jeremy, like, that race in Tulsa, the race in Austin was all on pavement. It's amazing how awesome the pavement is to ride with flat track tires. Like, it's just like the most consistent dirt.
Yeah,
you can break loose. Yeah. Like, it's all, it's there.
Yeah,
if there is potential.
But the thing with outdoors on the streets here is just, you never know if it's going to snow or be wet or if it's going to be icy or if it's going to be salty or,
and regardless, it's going to be fucking cold.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking cold. So like, who's going to want to do it, you know? On the ice, we could run an ice race.
We're just planning on the ice.
Yeah, and just like, And if the ice doesn't materialize, well, then, you know, we tried. City streets would be tough, but yeah. I think ice is something that we could probably.
Parking garage.
Yeah, but how do you?
Yeah,
that doesn't work. With the harbor, we could sell. You know, you have enough space for that many people because it's like it's not even about selling tickets because it's not the amount of money to like rent a whole Coliseum. So outdoor, there's money to pay the parks department to like use the ice and get the generators out for the lights and all that stuff and pay all the people for the corner workers and the sign up and all that stuff. But it wouldn't nearly be the financial investment that it would be on the indoor thing. So
be cold as fuck.
Be cold. But outdoor when you're at night, I mean Friday night of the start of the Mama Tried weekend, you got a lot of fucking energy. You know, it's like people just came into town.
Everybody's there.
They're gonna be fucking dressed warm, fucking partying. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, hell yeah. Be fucking epic. And maybe indoor flat out Friday can't happen until May. I mean, to be perfectly candid, that is might be one of our options. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if we can't get a day,
doesn't sound too terrible.
No, but it's like
it'd be fucking warmer and easier to get here, right?
Yes.
Did I drive in from Portland last year?
Yeah, dude, it's not fun.
Dude, it was just wild.
I know we've considered moving the whole event to May, like Mama Tried and Plot of Friday to May, because it's so much easier to book the venues. Mm-hmm. You know, logistically, people getting here from coming up from down south, almost.
Is it good in May?
It's like iffy. There's weekends when it's nice. I mean, we went to Congregation show. We were gonna ride, and then the day before we were gonna leave, there was a fucking huge snowstorm coming in. So we trailered to Louisville, dumped our stuff at Ivan's place, got our bikes out, rode to North Carolina to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And even so, it fucking rained and was crazy the whole way there. It was nice the whole way back, but it got cold too on the whole way back.
Yeah, dude, so on my way back, I rode through fucking snow and rain about 2 years ago, maybe three.
From Congregation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so like that, it's pretty unpredictable there too.
Yeah.
So you never know, you know, it might be nice. Take your chances. Trailer, have a option for a trailer at the last minute. So that's to be perfectly honest, that's like it's something that we talk about because mm-hmm. it might make it a lot easier for people to get here. It won't have the same feeling of being in the middle of February. Like
that was cool being in Milwaukee, like the middle of fucking winter, snow everywhere.
Yeah, and you kind of have a captive audience because there's nothing else going on.
Why is anybody here with all this snow?
Yeah, it's a nice thing to do in the middle of winter.
Well, it's cool. It's like a really good experience. I'm really glad I came out this year.
Yeah, I'm glad you did too.
It was cool.
Good.
It's
good.
You got to because I've been here during the summertime, too. And it's just totally different feeling. Yeah. Driving around the neighborhoods, just like sliding around in a big truck with six bikes in the back. Like, fuck, there's bars everywhere. All these people are drunk, dude. Watch out.
You can drink and drive when it's like when it's snowy like that. Because how are the cops gonna fucking tell the difference?
No,
right?
They have no idea. No, I don't even think they care.
No,
you know,
like, no. And that's the cool thing about Milwaukee is, like, not that I'm advocating drunk driving, but the cops are pretty cool here for the most part. If you're not being a dick.
Yeah.
You got to really go out of your way to get the cops' attention here. So
we were trying last night.
Yeah. They were paying it. They were just like,
I didn't see any cops last night.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. I don't think we came to a complete stop once. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. They're pretty easy going. So.
Dude, we went to the last place we went to was some taco joint, Taco Moto Taco.
Oh right, yeah. Down at the Boone and Crockett. Saints. Yeah.
Boone and Crockett. Yeah. Right on the water.
Yeah. It's cool.
I bet nobody comes here in the wintertime right here next to this water, just fucking blowing and.
No, man. People are there all the time. They got shit going down there all the time. Shows and...
Really?
Yeah.
That's a cool bar.
It's really cool.
Fucking...
The after party, the bands after Flat Out Friday were there this year. Oh, but a lot of people didn't go just because it filled up and there was no way to get in. I think everyone started calling their friends like, hey, if you're on your way, don't even bother. You can't get in.
Really?
Yeah. And that's a pretty huge venue. So...
I think I was fucking toast after the races.
Me too. I was beat. We had to go set up Mama Tried after that.
We stayed at that hotel right across the street from
the rave.
Okay.
The nice
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah, the Ambassador.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that was a fucking it's cool, great right? spot.
Yeah. Man. They got a nice restaurant in there and mm-hmm. a little bar. I wish the bar was like a little bit darker, but it's a nice bar.
Yes, it's lit up.
Yeah. It's all painted like white.
A rooftop bar or fucking jacuzzi up there.
Yeah. They do have one or they don't?
No, it'd be cool.
Yeah. I was like, damn, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, rooftop jacuzzi. We were just looking down at you guys working at the rave, getting ready for us.
There's a rooftop bar at the Kimpton, like one of our sponsors. And I'm plugging them because they're our sponsor, but they're also like really cool people and it's a cool hotel. Yeah. And they have a rooftop bar there. No jacuzzi.
What's the name of it?
The Kimpton Journeyman.
Kimpton.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, any closing? Anything we didn't talk about that you
know,
were like,
man,
probably, I can't wait
we're
to
gonna
so
go.
Danger.
We're going to go get some breakfast after this, and we'll probably come up with like 10 more things to talk about.
Well, I think my microphone might be picking up the noises my belly's making right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, me too.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, right man. On, man. Yeah.
What'd you guys think of that? That was pretty good, right? Thank you. I'm recording the outro. I'm recording the outro. Hold on a second. Fuck, now I just lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Go to mcshoptees.com and sign up for the T-shirt of the month club. Sorry, it's hard doing this with a live audience right now. Danger Dance Talk Shop, sign up for Patreon. I don't know if Nick sent a music snip in, so I don't know if you got to hear that or not. If you're going to be at the Salt Flats tomorrow, come say hello. I'll be the guy riding around on a chopper. Beautiful. Tune in on Wednesday. I'll put out another one of these with Zach from Heavy. After that, I got Bear. Wait, I got Bear next, maybe. Bear from Old Bike Barn. Zach from Heavy. Bill Dodge from Bling Cycles. Brady Till Death from Go Fast, Don't Try. And I recorded another podcast with Miss Danita Gale about her trip to Europe. So you got all that coming to you and more. Danger Dance Talk Shop, signing out from Desert Condor Studios.